You're listening to a Prairie Punk House Companion right here on the Prairie Punk Press Network.
The views expressed by any host or any guest on the Prairie Punk House Companion are the personal views or opinions of the people who express them and do not reflect the views or opinions of anyone else on the show or any company, employer, or any other organization that the individual expressing them has or will affiliate with in the past, present, or future. Hi everybody, let's do a Prairie Punk House Companion. We're now on episode 48. My name's Neckbone, and we do not have Jer Bear here tonight. We have Johnny.
Little Johnny, yeah, very happy to be here.
Yes, friend of the show and guest host tonight, while Jer Bear decided to ditch us because he wanted to spend time with his family. Lame.
Good for him, though. I'm seeing the pictures on Facebook, and I'm like, yeah, that looks like a blast.
It does. Yeah. A little bit jealous. Maybe it'll be me next time. You can host with him when I blow this popsicle stand and go hang out with my family. So we are doing a Kansas-based podcast tonight, and neither of us are in Kansas. No. So
But we're not that far.
We're not that far. One Chicago and one Minneapolis. So... yeah.
Still in the Midwest.
We're both still solidly Midwest. Yeah. Usually I'm not kidding. When we first started this, we weren't on camera for like the first 25, 30 episodes. So I would just have like my camera going, we'd record it. And like, I would just have like an entire computer screen filled with notes. And I'd sit there and methodically go through my notes and be like, make sure I hit this talking point. Make sure I do this. Now I don't do any of that. And I know Jer Bear never did any of that.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Well, so. I could tell. As a long time listener.
It is.
I could tell.
It has descended into total chaos. You know, this show used to be about punk houses.
Yeah.
Isn't that weird?
I wrote down some notes for Punk House Stories. Yeah. I haven't been through all the film reviews yet because I am a Patreon subscriber, but I have to go to the Patreon app to listen to them.
Oh, really?
Which is not difficult.
Yeah.
It's just not a habit. Yeah. So then I'm also like behind, and I'm like a nerdy every episode listener. So I also don't feel prepared because I feel like I should have heard every episode.
I mean, the last several episodes, as I'm looking through our episodes list right now, it has been 3 episodes since we actually talked about punk rock. That was about the Wichita scene with we talked to Kevin and Caden from Verrückt in Wichita.
I listened to half of that.
Yeah. So they were awesome. That was the last one where we actually talked about like actual punk rock stuff. The last 3 episodes have all been politics, which, you know, for you posers listening who get mad about that, which I imagine none of you who are still listening get mad about that. But just in case, punk rock is inherently political. So take that, yeah. I guess.
Yeah. And something I was thinking about, too, is like even just like. Good art is inherently anti-fascist.
Yeah.
Even if you're doing something that's not political, like you're doing a fucking drag show.
Yeah.
Or you're painting something. Like, as long as you're doing something cool and fun, like it's inherently anti-fascist. Apparently, Berlin was awesome before, you know.
Yeah. The musical Cabaret, which I still have never seen, but my wife has told me because she loves musicals. The Cabaret is about Berlin right when like the Nazis are taking over, and Cabaret is like the place where everybody's like partying and drinking and listening to like, you know, hot jazz music late into the night. Sounds fucking awesome. Yeah. I'd like to, you know, get out of Berlin before the Nazis show up, but like then sounds like a blast.
Actually, that might be a good musical. I don't know.
Yeah. It's anti-fascist, so that's good. No, I'm not. We're actually doing, for our next punk movie review, we're actually doing Hedwig and the Angry Inch, which is a punk rock musical.
And I think Bob Mould from Husker Du wrote the music, I think.
Really?
I
Oh,
could
I
be
did not
wrong.
know that.
Well, and I mean, you do the, okay, so this is because I live in St. Paul. This is another St. Paul thing too. You know that Bob Mould, after Husker Du and Sugar, went on to, you know what he did after that?
Moved to St. Paul, Minnesota.
No, he moved to, he wrote for professional wrestling.
Really?
Yes. Also openly gay. I think it's crazy when people don't know that, but yeah.
I mean, if you wrote the music for Hedwig, then that becomes apparent.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, but also like Husker Du openly gay, not surprising. Hedwig openly gay, not surprising. Writing for professional wrestling, at first surprising, and after completely unsurprising.
I even remember that, like as a kid, like while watching wrestling and being like, you know, there is something, and I mean this in the best way possible. I don't mean this as an insult. There's something inherently gay about wrestling.
Yes. Oh,
Like,
yeah.
I mean, go back and watch some old WWF shit before it became WWE, and then even after it became WWE, and you're like, oh yeah, okay. And it's very
Yeah.
theatrical too. It's like, I mean, it's kind of like a drag show in of itself. It's like
Oh,
macho
absolutely.
drag. It's macho
Yes.
drag. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Like,
The funny names, the
yeah,
outfits, you
right.
know,
Yeah,
like.
it does remind me completely of a drag show. I feel like I'm at Missy B's.
I lived in a house where all my roommates loved wrestling, and I'm just not a big sports guy. I guess
I mean,
to the point where I
I wouldn't call
consider
wrestling
wrestling,
sports.
but I liked it because it was like a soap opera too. There was a, you know, there's a plot and there's reasons, you know, they give a reason why these people want to wrestle each other, and I thought that was fun, but
Some of the storylines were just absolutely ridiculous, and the whole like people doing the baby face turns and the heel turns and stuff like that was just, I mean, it was so entertaining. When I was a kid in the 80s, and I was obsessed with Rowdy Roddy Piper, who went on to be in one of my favorite Halloween watches, They Live.
Oh yeah. Oh
Yeah.
God. Yes.
Phenomenal film.
Yeah,
So.
fucking yeah. I like all John Carpenter movies,
Yeah.
and that's one of the best.
I think that and I love John Carpenter movies too, and I think They Live is still my favorite one. I think that's my top one. Keith David, Rowdy Roddy Piper. I mean, what else do you want?
Oh yeah. Yeah, I know. It's like it's so good. It's also like it's got so many dumb elements, but like the actual satire and like is fucking brilliant, you know. God, the imagery, like I don't know. Yeah, no, that's a great movie.
Yeah, so you were going to talk about you had a few things you wanted to talk about when you came on here.
So I've lived here for some time, and for years I lived in a punk house here called the Midway House, which was in St. Paul. And you know, like St. Paul is the less cool of the Minneapolis St. Paul of the two cities. It's, you know,
It's a little grittier than
yeah.
Minneapolis is.
It's definitely more like working class, neighborhoody, and stuff. And I always felt more, I always actually sort of liked it better here. At least it's like cheaper to live. But so I lived in this house called the Midway House for years. Very cool. Before I lived there, like the two, it was two brothers that were my roommates for years. The Montreal brothers, who had a bunch of fantastic bands like Les Deux Magots and like Baby Guts and all that stuff. And years and years and years we had shows. It was good times. At one point, it, you know, there was like a hole in the bathroom so you could look down in the basement where we had shows. At one point, Jesse from Blatz was at a show at our house. I did not meet him. I did not see him. Somebody after the fact told me, I brought Jesse from Blatz to your house.
That's
So,
awesome.
and he saw one of my bands, so that was cool. So, my story right now isn't even about that. So I moved out of that house maybe in like, I lived there for like 3 or 4 years, and I moved out in like 2014 or something. 2014, 2015. And you know, I did live in another punk house after that, but then other stuff happened. I got married. I bought a house. And I live in the same neighborhood as this house. And in 2020, I hear about this show. And it's like, now it's on the internet. You're on Instagram and Ask a Punk is a thing. You know about this? Like, you see a flyer. It's like, where's the venue? Ask a Punk. So you have to ask a punk. And I asked. And it was my old address, right? So what had happened, and well, I think this is like 2019, is some other kids had moved in there. Well, we moved out and the landlord like seriously renovated it because that house was fucked. Some other kids moved in there and they had a band called Bob Ross Mob Boss. Pretty good name, I thought.
I
And
like
it
that.
is just a it's a great fucking basement for having shows. Like you can play down there. We used to practice down there. Like you can't hear it from the street. And it became a show house again. So like and they never even knew that it had been that, because like even before I lived there, like Midway House was like a 10-year show house, and some pretty big stuff came through. So I went to a show at my old house that I lived in for 4 years. And it was great. Everybody was much younger. Like, people were less dirty and less drunk, and like, they were doing a really good job at having a show house. And I ended up talking to somebody that lived there, but then and I brought my wife, and I guess, I don't feel old, but I'm old now. And I started, so I'm just talking about and telling stories about Midway House. And I'm talking to them and they're being really friendly. It's like two of the roommates and they're like, nodding, And I'm like, and just over here this happened, and just over here that happened. Oh, and that used to be my room. Oh, can I see it now? And they just look at me like all of a sudden they look at me like, fuck no. And I'm and it like and that's when like it hits and I have that realization like, oh God, I'm some weird old guy that
Yeah.
like I didn't even was like, oh yeah, of course. Like just like in my shame.
It's interesting, like going to shows now. It's been probably about a year since I've been to an actual punk show, but I did go to I've been to a few shows lately, but I went to go see Deltron Zero, the alter ego of Del the Funky Homo Sapien.
Oh, hell yeah, man. Deltron 3030 is like my favorite hip hop album, probably.
Fucking fantastic. New Deltron album coming out next year.
Yeah.
So they played like two songs from it. But I'm like, even there, even with, and I don't know how old Del is. He's got to be in his 50s, maybe even early 60s by now. I mean, he's been around for a while. And like, even looking around there, I'm like, man, I'm still one of the oldest people here. There's a few other old timers, but I'll go to a show and I'll catch myself telling stories, talking to people. And yeah, I come to that realization of like, oh fuck, like I'm like that old guy at like, the VFW who's like telling their war stories. Like I've become that guy. And then I'll mention like, my kid or something. They're just like staring blankly. They're just like, huh? Like, like yeah, sorry, man.
Trying to back away.
I'll just stand in the back and drink my craft beer. Like that's what I'll do. And then you guys can go have a good time. Yeah, there was a lot of people there who I was shocked how many people like were in their 20s there. It gave me hope, and I'm like, they know who Dell is and they're going to see him. That's great. And there's, I mean, not just old hip hop, but great new hip hop coming out, and of course, great new punk rock coming out. Like, when Jerry Bear and I talked to some of those, bands in Wichita, and I'm like, man, you guys are still fucking making the scene work. That's great.
That double-edged sword of like the internet, like all these kids have access to all music. So there's all these bands happening now that are like influenced by such weird, obscure shit, I don't know. It's not like going to the sports bar and seeing somebody cover Seven Mary Three. But I feel like Chicago's like that too, but like Minneapolis is like a punk retirement community. Like there are still shows where I too that I'm like the youngest guy too. Like in January, Destroy did a reunion with The Pissed and Misery, big old cruster show. And yeah, it was a lot of gray hair. It
Yeah.
was like, it was like people I saw 10 years ago that still had like a white guy crust dread. And
Like,
it's
you gotta
like
let that
you
last
see them
one
at
go,
that
man.
show and they're all gone.
Yeah. Just gotta let it
And
go.
it was actually, I've never been to a high school reunion, but there were like five people I went to high school
Oh,
with from
shit.
Kansas that like flew out for that show.
You had more stuff you wanted to talk about, too.
Oh, that was the big one. I was
Yeah.
trying to think of some more punk house stories. I just don't have that natural rapport that you and Jer bear.
I cut out a lot of the stuff that drags. You never hear it. Oh, well, on RSS, we have hit enough downloads to where we can monetize now, and I just haven't done it because I'm like, I don't fucking want to. It's a
Yeah.
pittance anyway. It's not like we'd be making thousands of dollars a month if we monetized. It'd be more like maybe we'd make an extra $20 or something. You know, like it's not worth it to like, all right, now we're going to talk about destroying capitalism for an hour. Anyway, here's an ad break. Kind of defeats the purpose.
I'm Ryan Reynolds for Mint Mobile.
Right. I mean, it just sound absolutely ridiculous. I mean, we're already posers and hypocrites as it is. I don't want to make it worse.
Yeah, but I mean, I feel like the selling out debate was different in the 90s when people were actually getting paid
Yeah.
for anything. It's, that's still more money than like Spotify will pay you. It's like
Oh yeah.
nobody gets people. Yeah, I don't
Yeah.
know.
And of course YouTube, we've never even tried to monetize YouTube. It's just pointless. I mean, we cuss all the time. We have to, yeah, and especially in our movie reviews, we use clips from movies, and I'll like mirror the image so that we don't get the copyright hit that gets us taken off entirely. But I mean, it's tough. I mean, you're sitting here, you're critiquing a movie, trying to use clips of the movie that you're talking about, and you have to do all these tricks so that it doesn't think you're pirating the movie. And it's like it's I mean, it's obvious. It's maybe in grand total 4 minutes of clips in an hour and a half episode. I don't think people are gonna do this instead of watching the movie. Like, if they're not gonna watch the movie, they're already not gonna fucking watch it. We're not gonna change their mind.
Was it just like, was it just software that like picks it out then and flags you or?
Yeah, when you're doing the upload to YouTube, like it does this copyright check that takes like, 10, 15 minutes, and it just sits there and like goes through it. I'm not sure what it uses exactly, but yeah, it'll flag things. Some things don't get you taken down. It's just more of a, well, you're not going to be able to monetize this. Not really an issue for us, or this video will not play in Russia. Okay. Anyway, that's okay. We still. I mean, we still just absolutely crush it in Malta.
Cyprus, they're
Sorry,
naming a
sorry.
bridge after you.
Hell yeah. Look out, John Oliver.
Liechtenstein, they have a prairie punk house companion themed bar there.
I'd be so excited if that were true. If there's a Prairie Punk House Companion themed bar and pretty much fucking anywhere, I'd be like, we're going. That's gonna be our We're gonna have a punk house reunion. It's gonna be in that country at that bar. So everybody save up so we can all fly to Azerbaijan. We'd like to do more podcasts too. I mean, we're still trying to get Horizontal out the door. The problem is just finding time. Keeping up with this one, doing a punk movie review, which we love doing, and we don't want to stop doing that, even though we only do one like every few months now. And we Jer Bear
Fine,
and I
and
both have two
I've bothered
jobs.
you about Straight to Hell.
Oh yeah. You're gonna be on that one when we do it.
Okay.
Hedwig is next, but I don't think we have one scheduled after Hedwig.
Hedwig's pretty important. I feel like
Yeah.
there are like some big important punk films. Like, you guys should probably also do Burst City. It's Japanese. Have you heard of that one?
Never heard of it. I'd love to do a Japanese film though. That'd be awesome.
It's like Japanese punk Mad Max. Yeah.
Fucking sign me up. I forget. I was just talking about Mad Max to somebody just the other day. Yeah, I still stand
You guys
by that.
haven't.
What's that?
Oh, you guys haven't done Repo Man yet, though.
No, we need to do Repo Man.
Okay.
Yeah.
After Straight to Hell is the one after Repo Man. But what were you saying
Okay.
about Mad Max?
I still think Fury Road is still like one of the most perfect action movies ever made.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like every Mad Max movie.
Yeah, I
There
like
are people
Thunderdome
that
even.
have them that are like, that's not good, or they're like, Beyond Thunderdome is terrible or something. And
I
I'm
enjoy
like,
it.
I like every one of them. I
Yeah.
think they are all good. I don't think any of them are bad.
Yeah. And I it is rare that I will utter a kind word about Mel Gibson, but I think as far as Mad Max goes, I think he does a good job in the role the
Yeah.
three times he played it.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong, I like Tom Hardy in the role too. I think he's fucking awesome. And Tom Hardy is probably a better person than Mel Gibson, but that's a pretty low bar. So
Yeah. Mel Gibson is pretty fucking, yeah.
he's a pretty awful human being. Trying to think of what other movies I like of his other than the Mad Max movies.
Oh, Lethal Weapon's pretty good.
Lethal Weapon. Yeah. It's a cop movie. I'm not huge on cop movies, but it's so stupid. It's so cartoonishly ridiculous that it is still fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's one of the best Danny Glover movies. Danny
Yeah.
Glover fucking rules.
Yeah, you know when Danny Glover was getting too old for this shit, he was younger than I am now.
Oh, how old was he when he was getting too
Was
old?
like 45 or something. He wasn't even that old. He was not too old for that shit.
Not old. The 40s is the prime of your
Right.
life,
He was not
really.
even retirement age for a police officer yet. So I don't know what the fuck he was talking about. He had another 15 years to go. It blows my mind that they're put on the same level as firefighters who actually rescue people for a living. I'm just like they're not the same thing. Can we stop pretending that those are the same things?
Dude, ICE was right here, like a few blocks from my house. And they like raided you can see it in St. Paul, this like this factory called Brotex, which I think like recycles mattresses and some shit like that. But it was
Interesting.
crazy. They made a big hullabaloo. They took like 13 people,
Jesus.
and then the mayor denounced it. And then, but then, and she was like, we're not gonna cooperate. And then a week later, they did some other raid, like the other way, a few miles, and they took like one person out of a house.
Yeah.
But the thing about it was here is that the St. Paul police cooperated with them after the mayor said they weren't going to. I and you live in Chicago. I know you've dealt with this, the police cooperating and then like still just getting tear gassed anyway,
Oh
because.
yeah. Yeah, the CPD, which is weird because our mayor Brandon Johnson also said we're not going to cooperate with ICE, but then the CPD was out cooperating with them. So, but then they were
They're
getting
like,
tear
cut of this
gassed.
guy's jib.
Right. Like the CPD was getting tear gassed by ICE because ICE is out there in full military gear and the CPD is just out there in like their blue short sleeves and they're fucking black slacks. Whatever like normal cop uniform they have, like they didn't come out to fight a war. That's not
Yeah.
like, don't get me wrong, the CPD is massively corrupt and definitely target minority communities for sure. But your average beat cop is not walking around prepared for, a fucking bad day in Baghdad. They're just that's not what they're geared up for.
Yeah, why we don't need to militarize our police? Like, violent crime rates have only dropped since this country's inception, you know?
Yeah. Well, and violent crime keeps dropping, despite the fact that, wages are down and cost of living is up, rent is up, mortgage rates are up. I don't know what it's like in Minnesota, in Illinois, for whatever dumb fucking reason, our property tax rate is a flat rate. So if they raise it on the wealthy, they have to raise it on everybody by the same percentage, which is just fucking stupid. So they can't ever get they put some a measure on the ballot a few elections ago that would have increased or put under a different tax bracket, so they would have been able to increase the taxes on the sale of homes over $1.5 million, and that got voted down. Keep in mind, everybody who voted against that does not own a fucking $1.5 million house and never will. And you know, my wife and I were selling, we were selling our condo at the time, and you know, my parents were like, "You better hope that doesn't pass." And I'm like, "Our condo is not worth $1.5 million fucking dollars, so I'm not too
Yeah,
worried
how's that
about
gonna affect, you
it."
know?
Like,
I wish,
are you
like,
fucking kidding me?
if I had something worth $1.5 million that I was selling, I'd be happy to
Right. Just a fucking working class neighborhood. Like, it's not worth $1.5 million. Thanks for thinking that, though. You know, if you want it for $1.5 million, I'll sell it to you right now.
I don't know. It's different here. It comes through the city, I guess. I mean, like a few years ago, they raised our property taxes in my neighborhood. But like $2,400 for the year. So it went up another $200 a month for me. But then it went back down. And I don't understand it that well.
It's well, Illinois has the second highest property tax rate in the country, second only to New Jersey.
Oh,
New
wow.
Jersey's still number one. I guess, yeah, because Jay Bear and I have destroyed this podcast with politics. You can talk about some of the bands up there in Minnesota that are on the scene right now, because that is like, we don't, because we're old and I don't go to Minnesota for shows anymore like I used to when I lived in Kansas City and was much younger.
Yeah.
What bands are there up there right now?
Oh God, there's so much. It's like it's really in a boom right now, but this has always been like a music town holdout for a lot of reasons. I mean, there's a bunch of young people doing it, but like people don't age out here, which I feel like I feel like it's the same in Chicago. Friends in Chicago that are like getting old and still in bands. Kansas City, you know, people seem to cut that shit out. I'm super happy to see Jer Bear doing something cool again. I was also sort of like, there's that many old crusties in Wichita, but
Of
of
course there
course
are.
there.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing about Wichita is I am not surprised that there are crusties that like to go to places like Wichita, because Wichita is still, for a city of its size, you know, which it's, you know, a metro area of around 500,000 people, city proper, 350, 400,000 people, mid-sized city. It's still one of the cheapest cities in the country. It's so cheap to live there. I mean, you could, people can still afford to buy a home there with, you know, just a, like a, making, you know, 40 grand or below.
But you can at least get a foothold.
Yeah, for
Like
sure.
that's going away here. Like it's really difficult for anybody to own anything.
It's going away here. Illinois overall has, you know, and I forget, somebody pointed this out to me the other day. They said, well, Illinois actually has, you know, one of the best cost of livings in the country. And I'm like, well, yeah, but I mean, that's factoring in places like Peoria and Cairo and East St. Louis too. I mean, like, overall, across the our entire massive state, I drove to Kansas City last week to visit family, and half of my drive was just driving through Illinois. I didn't even cross a state line until I'd gone over 50% of my entire drive to Kansas.
Yeah,
Like,
and you know, I think Illinois is actually flatter than Kansas too.
yes,
You
it
know, but
is.
yeah, it's
Yep.
just.
There's some hills in like the Driftless area, but most of the Driftless area is up in like Minnesota and Wisconsin, a little bit of Iowa. It only slightly swoops through Illinois, just in the northwest corner.
Oh, Driftless is beautiful.
Very beautiful. Great camping up there too.
But I know Carbondale's super cheap. There's always bands that are coming out of Carbondale, Illinois, because like,
College town.
well, and people move there and buy like a house for $20,000 and just do a
Yeah.
band like Dear Landlord. Or do you ever hear Dear Landlord? It's good, man. It's
Okay, I'll check them
Carbondale.
out. They're out of
Yeah.
Carbondale.
Yeah, they were. I mean, that's also like, I think this is like 20 years ago.
Yeah.
I'm sort of still with it, but you know, I don't know. You as you obsess with music, like if you've been obsessing about music since you were 10 and you're like over 30 years in now, that's a pretty wide body. But then it's also, I feel like it's easier to know. It's easier when you're young or you just get into it to be a little quicker on what's going on right now. I don't know if I told you this, but my neighbor is Justin from Kansas City. Maybe you remember him from back in the day.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah, I know him. Yep.
All right. So him and
Cool.
his wife moved here and they moved next door to us.
That's awesome. Like on purpose?
Well, what happened was they had been coming up here to visit, and you know, it's just like, I don't know, maybe they were sort of aging punks getting a little tired of Kansas City, and you know, like they're vegan, the vegan food is better here.
Well, yeah. It's kind of garbage in Kansas City. There's
Genghis
Genghis
Khan is
Khan.
always, yeah, exactly.
That's about it.
They were up here, like we set them up with their realtor. Their realtor's on like our bowling team, and but our neighbors were moving and they were up here checking out houses. And I just called the neighbor and I was like, "Hey, I know you guys are getting ready to sell your house. I have some friends looking to buy a house. Can they see it?" And they like walked in and were like, "Yes, we love this house." So now we've got our own, like, because and his wife, I didn't, do you remember Vicky? Yeah, like, so now that's those we have like a our weird little Kansas
Yeah.
compound.
Yeah. That's awesome. Well, I got to come up there. I really got to come up there and visit. I have not been to Minnesota in a long time. And, Leahy comes up there all the time too. I mean, he goes to like rural Minnesota, like deep rural Minnesota.
I saw a picture of you guys hanging out. That was him with you and Jared, like Andy, right? Yeah.
Yep. We went and got some ramen in Lawrence while I was down there.
Dude, oh, and Lawrence. I went to this ramen place in Wichita with Jer. Look, I've been to Japan multiple times. I was like seriously fucking impressed at the place he took me. Like, what the fuck is, I mean, not to talk shit on Wichita, like there's good food in Wichita, but like a good ramen in Wichita. I'm because like Wichita, I'm like, hey man, you want some good fucking Mexican food? It's there. Actually, good Vietnamese food there too, but like ramen, yeah.
I think, a lot of people don't think of Wichita as, but there's a huge Vietnamese population in Wichita on the north side, like, and great food around there. I always have to tell people, like, people, especially, living in Chicago, I don't know if you get the same thing in Minneapolis, or in the Twin Cities, but like, I'll like talk about, like, oh, there's great Vietnamese food in Wichita. And people will be like, hell, there's no Vietnamese people there. And I'm like, you've never even been there. You don't know what you're talking about.
You got like hot dogs and cornbread or
Right. Well, I was talking to somebody about the movie The Wiz, which I love, but they made it take place in New York, and I was always mad about that because I was like, that's a Kansas thing. That should have taken place in Kansas. And somebody said, there's no black people in Kansas. And I was like, what the fuck are you talking about?
you idiot.
You don't know anything about history or demographics of my home state. You know fucking nothing. So, there's this weird misconception about Kansas still, about it's people just think it's all like, corn-fed white dudes in wheat fields. That's all it is. I mean, when I went down to San Diego to visit my friend way back in like the 90s, people were asking, they're like, hey, how'd you get down here? And I had driven from Wichita to San Diego, and they're like, how did you drive? Don't you guys just have horses there? Like, do you guys have cars in Kansas? And they were being serious. They weren't trying to fuck with me. They were at some capacity, but like, they really didn't realize that there were cars in Kansas. It's not as bad in Chicago, because at least in Chicago, yes, it's a big city, but if you drive 20 minutes outside of Chicago in any direction, you are in cornfields. Just so they know better, because they live basically upstate from basically like what is Kansas. Like, downstate Illinois is the same as Kansas. I don't know, for some reason people in like the San Diego, LA, Orange County corridor just, I don't know if they've never gone to the other side of the mountains and have seen what other places look like. I'm like, you guys know you have farmers in California too. You know
Yeah,
that,
there's a
right?
lot of fucking farmland. But I don't know. I always enjoy that. Like the best thing to do, I don't know. Like whenever, like somebody's like that, I'm like, you're exactly right. Don't go. You wouldn't like
Right. Yeah. I say it when
it.
people are like, I heard Chicago's nothing but crime and snow. I'm like, yep, don't come here.
Yeah, don't
So
go.
that's,
You'd hate it.
you'd hate it.
I mean, I get that here because people talk a lot of shit on St. Paul. Like, St. Paul, yeah, there's nothing going on there. I'm like, you're right. Don't go. Why would you come to St. Paul, man? There's no Apple store here. There's no, I mean, like, you're in Minneapolis. You guys got an Urban Outfitters.
I went to St. Paul that time that I accidentally ended up in St. Paul. And I went to a bar and I had a fucking great time. Like it was like a jazz bar, which I didn't know that was still a thing outside of like we have jazz bars in Chicago, sure, but they're like, they're tourist traps, Like they're I don't know how many authentic jazz bars there still are anywhere. But yeah, I ended up in like this jazz bar and it was really fucking cool and beers were really cheap and I had a great time. I don't even give a fuck about jazz, but I was like, it's still just everybody's dancing and having fun. Like, yeah. Oh, wow. Who'd have thunk it? St. Paul.
Don't want to talk too much. Yeah, it is. It's a little more down to earth. I don't want to talk too much shit on Minneapolis. Minneapolis is cool.
Yeah.
It's just
I have a good
the.
time in Minneapolis every time I go. I do. I have not spent nearly as much time in St. Paul as I wish I had, because everybody I knew up there lived in Minneapolis. Honestly, though, like if I couldn't live in Chicago, if I had to pick somewhere else in the country to live, Twin Cities would be really high on my list. That would probably be my top choice, just because it's still the Midwest, but there's still tons of shit to do there. It's still close enough. It's striking distance from Kansas City still. Without having to be too close.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, yes, I know exactly what you mean.
That's what I thought my whole drive to Kansas City last week was just like, because it's, it's 8.5 hours approximately. And I was driving with my kid in the car. So it's just me and him. And we left at like 6 in the morning because I'm like, I don't want to deal with Chicago traffic. We left like 6 in the morning on a Saturday. And we drove from our house on the north side through downtown and out the southwest side in 20 minutes flat. Like I was just like, Jesus Christ. It
And
isn't
that's like a 2 hour fucking. I one time I like stay I was like hanging out in Chicago for a weekend, and I stayed late on Sunday to drive like through the night to avoid traffic. And I left Chicago at like 6 or 7 or 8 on a Sunday. And there was still fucking traffic. It was
It's
crazy.
probably construction. Whenever there's
Yeah.
construction, that happens. I was probably going 80 miles an hour. I think the speed limit's 55. That is not an admission of guilt, City of Chicago. Do not try to send me a fucking ticket.
I'm sure they're listening.
They're listening. The Mayor Johnson is listening right now. It's like that motherfucker.
He's not bad, is he? He's pretty good, right? I
He's
mean,
okay. He's okay.
yeah.
Yeah. He is. I mean, here's the thing. You only have so much power as mayor. It's not like you can implement a lot of these changes that need to happen at the state and national level. So you kind of, and that's why I keep reminding people about Zoran Mamdani. I'm just like, I mean, cool. I'm glad that he's cool. I'm glad that he's hip. I'm glad that he used to be a rapper. That's awesome. I'm glad that he is, a mild left of center, sort of like Nordic model socialist. That's cool. That's the best we can hope for in this country. What else are you going to get? But he's still limited as to what he can do as mayor of a city.
I think just what's significant about him is having somebody run against, like the Democratic Party was trying to fucking tank him,
Yeah, they were.
and he still got elected.
And Cuomo, the little bitch that he is, was just so butthurt that he lost the primary that he ran as an independent because he had to make it. It's all about, it's not what the voters want. No. It's his turn. Like he's a duke or something. He'd been anointed. It was his turn. That's the way that they fucking think. They always think like, but it's my turn. That's why Hillary got the fucking run. And remember how upset they were about Obama bumping Hillary in 08? They were
Yeah.
so butthurt about that.
She,
And like
well, she spent all these years building her career, but never mind, like, how incredibly unlikable she was. Also, like, I mean, nobody gave a fuck about this, but like, as Secretary of State, super aggressive militarily, like,
She's a hawk.
instrumental in how we started using drones to attack human beings.
I don't know. Do you listen to the YouTuber FT Signifier at all?
No, never heard of him.
Great videos. But yeah, he always points out too that, like, oh, by the way, Biden and Obama and Clinton are all right wing. Don't let the blue D by their name fool you. They're all right wing. We've been moving right as a country for decades.
Like I've heard arguably like more right wing than Nixon, like
Oh, I mean,
stories.
Nixon had some not terrible policies. He was a pretty awful person. But he had, like his urban renewal policies where he's trying to get people to move back into the cities, trying to end white flight, trying to like keep cities like Detroit and Cleveland and St. Louis alive.
He signed OSHA into law too,
Like
which is
he did some good things. Like by today's standards, he'd be considered a moderate. Which is fucking wild that that's how far right we've drifted to where Nixon would be considered a moderate. He could even run
Well,
as a moderate Democrat today.
I mean, like, and what Mom Donnie just showed, like, you can't, how long can you keep shoving these candidates down everybody's throat, you know?
Well, and we now live in a world where everybody can get information at the click of a button, and they don't need to wait on legacy media to tell them about things anymore. And even like, a lot of legacy media, due to, I mean, sometimes on purpose, but sometimes just for brevity, has to leave out a lot of information and omits a lot of context and facts. So you're not getting the full story. Sometimes it's intentional, and sometimes it's just because of the medium. They just don't have the time and the bandwidth to do that kind of in-depth journalism for everything. So people are getting their information from other places now, and people are learning how to fact check that information. Well, people people who want to not be willfully ignorant are fact checking their information. And so it is easier for people to look up information about a candidate and go, oh, huh, boy, he says a lot of stuff that I completely agree with. And they can just ignore all the other like attack ads and stuff that are coming out of everywhere because they can just look up, like, oh, what does this candidate stand for? Here's their entire platform compared to this entire platform. Okay, I have it all right here at the click of a button. And, attack ads are always so vague. Even Cuomo, when trying to make attack ads on Mom Dying, all they ever attacked was the fact that he was a Muslim, which is not a thing that a lot of people give a fuck about anymore.
He's gonna institute Sharia law. Like, God, his wife doesn't wear a fucking hijab. You know, I
No,
don't know. It's
she's a
so
hipster.
stupid. Yeah, I know. It's so
She's a
funny.
total hipster. I expect to see her on a Vespa or something. She's a mod. Him saying he's a Muslim to me is not any different than a candidate saying that they're a Christian to me. I'm like, I'm going to look at how you treat people and how you act. Just you, obviously, like, I have to vote for a lot of Christians because that's who generally runs and wins elections. But I'm not a Christian. So, but I'm not sitting here going, like, every time, a Christian runs, I'm not like, oof. Yeah, but that Fred Phelps stuff, I don't know. I mean, how do you explain that? Because they'd be like, well, they're a completely different denomination and they don't belong to that church. Okay, but I mean, they're a Christian and he's a Christian. So, I mean, like, that's the same conclusion you could come to. Like, anybody who's ever called themselves a Christian, like, I don't know, that Spanish Inquisition makes me pretty uncomfortable.
Yes. And I mean, like, subscribing to one of these religions doesn't say anything about how you're going to behave. It can be like a powerful anchor for building community, and it's also like super effective way of manipulating people and like amassing power if you are not a good person.
I always joke about starting my own cult. And I think my wife thinks I'm serious. She's like, don't start a cult. Don't start a
If you
cult.
do, all I'm saying is I've like read about and listened to a bunch of podcasts about cults because I was like interested in it until I like just went through like 50 of them, and I'm like, okay, the same thing happens every time.
Every time.
Somehow it's a weird like, and it's like even people that didn't know about other cults seem to they just do the same things. There's these same weird controlling behaviors that seems like people, some people, bad people, naturally gravitate towards. But here's the thing. That's boring to me now. What I want, if you're going to do a cult, wacky cosmogony. I need a cool story about, I don't know, like the world is carried by eight golden snails on the back of like
Would
I need
you
something exciting, exciting myths.
be interested in well, I started a cult called Oceanography, where we regard Billy Ocean as our prophet. So we have Catholic style mass.
Where do I send my money? Where do I send my money?
We do Caribbean Queen, but we do it like Catholic Psalms and get out of my dreams, get into my car. So if anybody would like to join Oceanography and worship the real prophet, our God Billy Ocean, please send
Where
your
do we
money.
go when we die? Do you want to fade off into dreams or do you want to get into the car?
Religions have been based on more ridiculous stuff than this before. At least Billy Ocean's a real person. And I can prove he is. By the way,
Well, I
Billy
mean,
Ocean does not support my religion based around him. So
there was a Trekkie cult. I mean, I'm sure there have been multiple, but like, that Heaven's Gate watched, like, they regularly like watched Trek together.
of course. And it was a space cult. And if not for the suicide and castration, I would have totally been on board for that. But once they're like starting to like castrate each other, I think I probably would have been like, I'm late for something. I think I left my coffee pot on. I'll come back. Just wait for me. You always have to end it with that. Just wait for me. I'll be
Just
back.
you hang out.
Just trust me. I'll be right back. Don't worry about it. Wait, weren't we trying to talk about Minneapolis bands? How did we devolve into cults? See, this is what Jerbear and I do all the time too. It always happens like this. Even if we have a loose plan, we get so far off topic, then we're like, what the fuck were we talking about?
Sometimes you gotta let it ride, right? Sorry. So this place has been it's a venue now, but it's been like a cooperatively owned cafe since the 70s. Like when we would come up here for shows, God, when I was even in high school and stuff, it was like, oh, we'd always want to go eat there, right? Because it's super cool. Had a bunch of friends that worked there, but it like changes as time goes on. Generally, who most of the people who work there are younger and stuff. And it's like there's several cooperatively, there's a bunch of health food co-op grocery stores and cooperatively owned cafes, which is like a great thing. Like super cool, right? But they were having HVAC problems. And the drummer in my band, Sparrowhawk, like he went to go help them out because he's a union service fitter. Like he does HVAC. And his girlfriend at the time had worked there for years and like had left, but people come back to help the co-op. Like it's a cool place, right? We all like it. And younger crowd, I'm gonna say, like, I don't know this, but it seems like punks from the suburbs moving in to be a part of the co-op. So Damien, union pipe fitter, takes time out of his day, out of raising his fucking three kids and all this shit, and uses his discount to go buy them like another air handler unit, and they were fucking dicks to him. They were like, well, we got to come with you to make sure that this is actually what it costs and all this shit.
Oh my God.
And just like he like got into it and he did it anyway, but like, oh God. And then he was like, yeah, you guys have shows. I used to play here back in the day. Can I book a show here sometime? And they're like, yeah, it'll be $400 up front.
Jesus Christ.
And they're not like charging people that. So I don't know. Yeah. And it's also, I mean, it's just like, so I don't know.
Yeah.
This is like the neighborhood Damien grew up in, where he's raising his kids and stuff. So, and it's the Seward Cafe, but they used to have the best hash browns.
No, I think I've been there before, actually, like a long time ago. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, some of the people that work there are dicks now. Fucking cool venue is, all right. Did you ever hear the Soviets? You would like the Soviets.
I think I have.
They're a classic band from here. One of the ladies from the Soviets opened up this venue here called Cloudland that I have nothing but good things to say. It's just fucking amazing. It's her and her husband, and she's like a school teacher. They have like day jobs, but they have a really good venue. Yes, should be a more exciting story. She's in Partial. They're both in Partial Traces now, which is great. It's like punks doing something that's sort of 80s drum machine, sad New Order song.
If you live in the Twin Cities area, go to Cloudland Theater. There you go.
One of my favorite venues here was a place called the Medusa. So it was like an old auto shop, and it's like right in the middle of the city, but it was tucked away by like the light rail. We have light rail by these train tracks. So it was like you're in this super crowded neighborhood, and then you walk down like this dark street to this weird outpost where it's the Medusa. And like the first time I went there, like they had this big fenced yard. It was like the fucking Foot Clan headquarters. No, because they had half pipes and shit.
Yeah,
they had half pipes and stuff.
Nice.
And then you go in and there's like, it's a big old auto shop, and you go into the office and there's like, I had a buddy, I played in a band with a guy who lived there, right?
Yeah,
but he didn't have like a room you could stand up in. It was like if you crawled past the office into this storage space, he had a mattress, and like often there was just standing water on the floor. God, this is another one where it's such an amazing place, but I feel like I almost need a hook, like a good story about something that happened there.
This is the place that's like the Foot Clan hangout from the live action Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie.
Yeah.
Nice.
There were half pipes though.
Yeah. Are you greeted at the entrance by Sam Rockwell like you were in the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie?
Was Sam Rockwell in that?
Yeah. It was before he was famous. Yeah. He's like the guy who like greets him, and it's just like, yeah, man, you can go skating here. You can play video games. You want some cigarettes? We got menthol. Like, he's that guy. Everybody's got to get their start somewhere.
He went on to have a career. I wonder whatever happened to the guy that played Casey Jones.
He's in some procedural cop show. I think that's pretty much all the only other thing he's ever done. Maybe a few, I don't know. Maybe he's Canadian. Maybe he was in some Canadian stuff. Kids in the Hall. What else is Canadian?
SCTV.
Nicole, if you're still listening, can you fill us in on what's popular in Canada these days? Thank
Degrassi
you.
Junior High.
Degrassi. Oh, I mean, Degrassi is, that's old shit now, man. That's where Drake got his start. Degrassi TNG.
He's out there grooming, you know.
Hitting on 15-year-olds. Allegedly.
That's a career.
Sorry, allegedly. I don't want Drake to sue me.
Okay, there was this band here called The Sleaze, right? A punk band. Very much they sound like, you know what I when I say KBD, like Killed by Death, like the Killed by Death compilations, like early lo-fi snotty ass punk. So this was it, because like some of my friends found this band and put out their record, but they were a band that became a punk band, but they had never heard or really been exposed to punk. Like they were just these teenagers, high school kids from Stillwater, which is like a somewhat affluent exurb here, you know. And they'd only like heard like the Ponies and like some indie rock, but and this was years ago, and I highly recommend the Sleaze song Smoking Fucking Cigs. It's their big hit. The record is worth getting, but that was the thing, like they didn't know what punk was, but somehow just being young and like, oh God, they're very intelligent people, but making very stupid choices. Somehow they formed this band that was supposed to be an indie rock band, but it was the punkest fucking thing you'd ever see. And they were great. I mean, yeah, like
That's
songs
punk
like,
as fuck, is not even knowing that you're a punk band.
yes. And I mean, eventually they did hear it, but they didn't even know. Like it was loud and aggressive. Like the singer was also channeling like Liza Minnelli in his performances, which you wouldn't know. But like you
Nice.
saw shit like, oh God, one time they found a fucking like dead ferret in a freezer. So they bought it to the show and were like throwing in the a lot of blood, a lot of beer cans, 10-minute sets. It was amazing. And then they all grew up. Now they're like responsible people that will not talk about, do not want to talk about being in that
Oh,
band.
so they probably wouldn't be on the podcast.
I mean, like, no, probably not. Maybe Mark. The singer like was doing that and was like, what the fuck am I doing with my life? So he started a company that made male yoga clothing
Nice. All right. There's a market for it.
and he sold it for like a shit ton of money and like moved to Austin, Texas and works in advertising
Oh
or
my
something
God,
like that.
weird.
Yes.
It's interesting some of the turns that people's lives take that you would just not expect. Like Ray being a veterinarian now.
Yeah, he
It's
likes
like,
animals.
I mean,
He's the
it's like if you told me that that guy would have doctor before his name. And before you talk shit on veterinarians, keep in mind human doctors only have to know how to treat one animal. Veterinarians have to know how to treat all the animals except humans.
I will. I'll say this though, because like, yeah, Ray made a lot of choices. But Ray was always a very intelligent person, man.
Well, a lot of people in the scene are really, really smart people. Very intelligent people who just made a lot of really bad decisions and drank a lot. Yeah, I didn't see the point. I didn't see the point in doing, all the, doing all going to church and being like a fine, upstanding person, a good white Christian in the suburbs of Kansas. Like, I was just like, what's to what end? What's the point of this? I don't like any of it. So I'm just not going to do it. And I think a lot of intelligent people are like, oh, I don't have to do that. I can just go do whatever the fuck I want for a while. And after a while, the kind of the thrill of just doing whatever you want all the time wears off. And you come out the other side, just discovering new things about yourself and being like, oh, this is who I am. Okay. And now because I did go through kind of, is freeing of like, oh, I can just shed off all the things I didn't give a shit about that I was trying to be slotted into, and I can come out the other side and do the things that I'm actually interested in and not have to care what people think about it. Whether that's, still being in a band in your 40s or being a veterinarian or starting a male yoga clothing line. I mean, it takes many forms. Being a day player on a TV show, like my episode should be coming out soon.
Did you? Yeah. What are you on?
Power Book 4, Force. It is like it's based on the TV show Power. It's like a spin-off of the show Power from like 10 years ago. And it's the one of the guys in Power was from Chicago, one of the characters. And so his character comes back to Chicago for, I don't know, dramatic reasons, mobster reasons. I think they're in the mob or something. I actually don't know that much about the show. But he comes back to Chicago. And so they film in Chicago for Power Book Four. I was actually trying to get on the Bear, and the Bear was not casting any day players, so I ended up getting cast in this one. I filmed a year and a half ago, and the episode is now just coming out this month. So if you want to try to look for me on Stars, that's where it is. Nobody has Stars. I don't even have Stars, but I play a photographer. I have no lines. So spot me if you can. But this is, I think this is going to be the thing that kicks off my acting career. There's many things I want to do. I never want to be a star. I want to be a voice actor, a day player in shows that I like. And I also have a dream of playing the token white friend in a black rom-com. Because you know they always have that one white guy. I want to be that white guy. I can be that guy. Because like half the time they're a ginger anyway. I'm already a ginger. There you go. Got that covered. And like
You look like the guy.
I look like the guy,
You
don't
have
I?
that. Yeah.
And we're all playing basketball, and for some reason I got the goggles on. I got like the basketball goggles. Like I give really like just really basic like dumbass advice that like came straight out of AI of just being like, I don't know, man. Like, if you really like her, you gotta ask her out. See? I can say lines like that.
You know, maybe you ought to take a good look in the mirror
Yeah,
and ask yourself what's right.
right.
He's like, oh.
Oh, okay. So that's going to be my shtick. Oh, and I also want to be a reenactor for when ghosts attack. So that's the kind of acting I want to do. If I can make a whole career on being a reenactor when ghosts attack, token white friend in a black comedy, and a day player in shows that I like, and a voice actor, like I'm solid, man. I'm good. That's the dream right there. I want to be able to still ride the train and not have anybody know who the fuck I am, but I still make enough money to not have any other jobs.
You can be in the next Red Wing Blackbird movie. Did you ever watch the Red Wing Blackbird movie?
I did not.
Oh, God. Yeah, the Red Wing Blackbird story. You should watch it. It's pretty good.
I'll check it out.
I'm in it. In it, if you watch it, you can see me take Kirkland margarita mix, put it into a carbonator and carbonate it, and then I crack a raw egg into it and I drink it. I was playing a character.
Hopefully, fingers crossed, whenever I get my novel finished, I don't want a star in it. I want it to be adapted for the screen and made into a movie. I don't want a star in it, though. I don't want
What,
to be the
Fifty
starring
Shades of
character.
Gary?
What's that? 50 Shades of
Fifty
Gary.
Shades of Gary? Yeah.
Yeah. So I think I want Laszlo to play Gary. Yeah.
Have you seen his shorts are super
Yeah.
good
He's
too.
fucking he's funny. I think he's a good actor. And like and he's just he fits Gary, and now that he's slid into middle age, he has aged into the role perfectly. So
He can play a Gary. He could
yeah.
totally pull
Of
off a
course.
Gary.
Yeah. He's Gary. He's Gary. So Laszlo, hit me up if you're interested in playing Gary. I have to finish the novel first. Then I have to find people to make it into a movie and secure funding. It might be a while. Maybe we'll start a GoFundMe right here. We can earn tens of dollars. But if you think about it, like it wouldn't take a lot to film. Like there's not a lot of spe there's not no special effects would be needed. It is mostly filmed at like a punk house and a shitty apartment, and it's pretty easy to secure those locations.
Yeah, well, and I feel like ever like recording is cheaper than it's,
Yeah.
like film too. I think it's easier to shoot shit, you
I
know.
mean, I hate to say it, and I hate to be that guy, but you can film it on a fucking iPhone. Like,
Yeah.
it doesn't have to be an iPhone. Any modern mobile phone, it could be filmed on. If you find a skilled enough director, I mean, They always say, like, when I was in art school and I had taken like photography classes and stuff like a long time ago, they'd always say the best camera is the one you have. I just need to finish the novel, which means I need to stop having 50 jobs. Well, that's the thing. Like that, whenever people say like, if not for capitalism, people would just sit around and be lazy. I'm like, no, they fucking wouldn't. People do what they're passionate about. That's what they do. People wouldn't have to sit there and think, well, what job is going to make me the most money? People could sit there and be like, okay, maybe I want to be a historian of Shakespeare and know the most about Shakespeare. We need people to do that. We need people to do jobs like that. We need people to do the humanities. We need writers. We need artists. We need song makers. We need all of that shit. And if you don't attach a monetary value to it, then people will actually do the things they're passionate about and do them in a way they're passionate about them, instead of trying to cater to the lowest common denominator all the time so they can squeeze more money out of it.
People are going to be lazy. Like with freedom, people do things worth doing. I mean, it's like, yeah, no, we got capitalism. Everybody's got to really earn their keep. And it's like, we have call centers full of people, like there's just so many bullshit jobs,
A
you know?
job that people have just so that they don't starve and they can have a roof over their head. Like, that's not kind of life is that? I don't hate my job. I don't dislike my job, but I don't love my job. I do it because I make money doing it. I don't love it. I'm not passionate about it, but it pays the bills, so I keep doing it.
Same. I don't know. I have a trade. Like, it is important to me to be good at it, to do my best at that. But if I were not getting paid, I would not do it.
Exactly. And here's the thing. I think there still would be people who would want to do trades. There are people out there who just love working with their hands. People out there who love, doing electrical work, doing plumbing, stuff like that. And there are ways to get people to still do those jobs that don't have to be based around, well, you have to do them or you'll starve.
I like that I have a job that I do things that I feel like I'm contributing to society,
So lots of people working multiple jobs.
I mean, I'm sort of okay because at least I'm union.
I don't know. Yeah, unions have gotten a really bad rap in this country. Are people talking shit on them all the time? And I just want to say, like, you don't know what the fuck you're talking about. You can thank unions for your 2-day weekend, for your 8-hour workday, for your, paid leave, holidays off. That's all because of union people. And, a lot of it was fought for right here on the streets of Chicago.
Well, and like people will talk shit in a weird way too, like, well, you can't trust the union, and then go work for like a corporation. Yeah, unions have problems, but at least if you're a member, like, I don't know, it's like, oh God, my dog bit me, so I'm gonna go sleep. I'm just gonna go out in the woods and hang out with a bunch of wolves,
Is there anything you want to plug before we go tonight?
Yeah. Hey, I just put out a Power Violence demo, the Leech Dealer demo. It's really good. Sparrowhawk's got a new album coming out on Pinata Records, which is like really, which is great. There's a pressing plant here now. Pinata Records is great. Lutheran Heat's on there too. That's a great band. Nato Coles is on there. Betty Won't. And go watch the Red Wing Blackbird story.
Nice.
I'll send it to you. Yeah, that's all I want to plug.
So
You want to plug anything?
I'll put it in the description too. I'll put the link in the description so everybody can check it out. I once again, I'm going to plug my 50 Shades of Grey book I'm still working on. It's going to happen. It's going to get done someday. My children's book, I'm still looking for an illustrator. If you are one of the 5 or 6 people who have stars, please watch Power Book for Force, the newest season. I'm in it. I play a photographer. See if you can spot me. I have not watched it yet because I do not have stars. So If you see me, I don't know, TiVo it or something. Can people still TiVo? Is that a thing? Record it, send it to me.
It'll be
If
on YouTube sooner or later,
it'll
right?
eventually be on YouTube, yeah. So, I'm sure eventually my wife will just make me get stars because she'll be like, just get fucking stars for like 1 month and then cancel it.
Do the free trial.
Oh yeah, that's true. It's probably a free trial. Check that out. I want to give a shout out to our patrons, Adam, Alec, Chris, Mr. Power, and of course, Johnny, who you can see on screen right now. Thank you for all of our patrons. You keep the lights on in our studio, if we had a studio. Someday, by the powers that be, we will, maybe. Listen to our other podcast, Punk Movie Review. We just did Green Room a few weeks ago.
I listened to that one. That's good. And I
Yeah.
saw that in the theater, so I was like, wow, yeah, I gotta.
Scary as shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought it was a great movie.
Yeah, fantastic. Really, really, really tough for me to see Captain Picard as a Nazi. So if you don't know, Patrick Stewart plays a Nazi, plays the head Nazi of the group, and he is absolutely terrifying to watch. So yeah, listen to our other podcast and go to our website, www.prairiepunkpress.com. You can find all of our stuff there, all of our links and everything. And yeah, thanks to my guest co-host, Little Johnny, friend of the show. Thank you so much for being here. Jer Bear will probably be back next time. Maybe I won't. I don't know. We'll see. But thanks for listening.
They say that I'm the third punk house of Prairie Home.
The
It's like
third
the fifth
house.
Beatle. I'm the
Yeah.
third punk
All
house.
right. Thanks for listening, everybody. All right. Bye.